Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Deuteronomy 4:39, therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. One true God. Isaiah 40:28, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The NIV reads, he will not grow tired or weary. New Century Version, he does not become tired or need to rest. And the NLT, he never grows weak or weary. Ever grown tired? Ever grown weak? Ever grown weary? Ever needed to rest? Ever needed to sleep? Ever fainted? The message, he doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath. Charles Spurgeon said, God gave us sleep to remind us we are not him. Go as long as you can. Some can't go 24 hours and they're propping toothpicks in their eyes. An old song. Sleep, no, I never get enough, always waking up tired. Sleep, no, I never get enough. If I don't show up, I might get fired. And the Bible says, love not sleep. Sure, get enough. Love not. And yet the need for sleep, and this need will continue. We will continue to need sleep until we reach glory. I love that. God gave us sleep to remind us we are not him. To remind us we are human. Yes, even you, man. And even here, the need for sleep, a witness to wake the dead, to wake the lost. You see, I'm human. He is God. I'm human. I need God. I need the one who never slumbers or sleeps. I need him when I'm sleeping. I need him when I'm awake. I need him watching over me and caring for me and ministering to me in the night and in the day. I need him when I'm dead to the world and when I'm alive to it. I need him when I'm in the vulnerable position, and in all positions I need God. Psalm 139, 7 to 12, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, is not dark. But the night shines as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Verse 18, when I awake, I am still with you. Psalm 127, 2, he gives his beloved sleep. The Wycliffe Bible, for he giveth to his beloved even while they sleep. Incredible. What a God we serve. Psalm 8, 4 to 5, what is man that you are mindful of him? and the Son of Man that you visit him, literally, that you give attention to or care for. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. I'm human. And he is God. Psalm 121, 1-4, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved or slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. How many are thankful this morning that God doesn't sleep? And God never sleeps on the job. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel, put your name there today, shall neither sleep. Slumber, neither slumber nor sleep. You know, I'm human. I'm not God. And I need what God will never need. And I need God. I need to wait on God. Isaiah 40:28-31, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Message paraphrase. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out, and he knows everyone. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts, for even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. What else has God given us to remind us that we are not God? Or to wake us to the reality that we are not God? That we are human, that there is a God. A creator, one sovereign, one omnipotent, in another league. Well, I can think of things, and I can think of many times when I was so beautifully confronted with the reality that I was not even close to being in the same ballpark. Knowing weakness, knowing frailty, knowing hunger, knowing thirst, knowing helplessness, knowing inability, and what of pain and immobility? I need strength, I need legs, I need wings. But God is the strength of my heart, the strength of my life, and my portion forever. Psalm 73:25-26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength, literally the rock of my heart and my portion forever. More aware of my need every day. And that's the life of the Christian. That's the life of the disciple. That's the life of one following Jesus. They come to realize more and more with each passing day that they need God more because they are simply human. until he touches their life. That they need to follow the shepherd, because without him they are lost. Without him they get lost. I need to fear God. Not only need to, I want to. I love to. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 to 6. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse, literally your voice, and destroy the work of your hands? Fear God, for the Lord pities those who fear him. The fear of the Lord is only natural and right. And oh, that all would fear God and tremble before him. Psalm 103, 13 to 22. As a father pities his children, so thankful today, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, understands our constitution. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers, servants of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yes. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. And I want to be wise, not in my eyes and not in the world's eyes, but I want to be wise in God's eyes. Only human. Some in this room are tired right now. You're human. Weak. Human. Not well, human. Needing direction, human. Angry, human. Bitter, human. Only human. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather, strange language. I mean, who boasts in infirmities? Many complain. This is some kind of Christian. Wait, this is a Christian. I'll rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, I wonder, it just came. If we don't boast in our infirmities, is it possible that the power of Christ doesn't rest on us, won't rest on us? I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Realizing that I'm only human and that I need God. Yes, you are God's, but little g. Don't put caps on. Only human. And yet more because of the one we love and serve. Even this weakness reminds us we're human. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm human. He's not. And yet, he knows exactly what it's like to be human. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. To know the need for sleep. To feel tired. To feel the need for rest. That strength returned to the vessel. And as a child, asleep on the hay. In the formative years, growing. And do you recall Jesus sleeping in the boat? Matthew 8, 23 to 27. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be? Literally, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Other gospels, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus sitting down to rest, John 4, 1 to 7. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Wearied and thirsty. Take heart this day, Hebrews 4. 15 to 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in need today? Come boldly. The precious throne of grace. You know, he knows human weakness and weaknesses. Mark 6, 31 to 32, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Ought to be in the boat with Jesus. The message the apostles then rendezvoused with Jesus and reported on all they had done and taught. Jesus said, come off by yourselves. Let's take a break and get a little rest. For there was constant coming and going. They didn't even have time to eat. So they got in the boat and went off to a remote place by themselves. You know, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. I shouldn't feel this. You're human. Thank God you feel it. that you might acknowledge that you need God. And those times we're so beautifully reminded, and you're saying it's not very beautiful. It is. When we're reminded that we are not Him. And that we so desperately need Him. You know, we need Him more than we even know. The voice of the Bible, Jesus, to the disciples, "Let us go out into the wilderness for a while and rest ourselves." The crowds gathered as always, and Jesus and the 12 couldn't eat because so many people came and went. They could get no place until they, no peace, until they boarded a boat and sailed toward a deserted place. You know, I'm human and I'm more aware of my need. Every day, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This for the saint, and so too for the sinner. We all need the rest that only He can give. These human frames of ours, these souls of ours, this fallen nature of ours, this everything of ours. Philippians 2, 5 to 7, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of his privileges, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Still blows my mind. The message, "Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself." Don't think so much of yourself. "That he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death." You know, it really can be an incredibly humbling process, being human. Living human. Aging human. And yet if we live selfless and obedient form of a bondservant, we will know the Jesus life. Thank God that he took on real, complete human weakness to redeem it. And redeem it he did with a life lived like no other. And yet because of him, you know, we can know like existence. I don't know about you, but I want to join with him in redeeming human living. You're like, "Is that what's going on?" That's exactly what's going on. True followers of Jesus Christ, sold out, passionate. They're joining with him in what he started in redeeming humanity, redeeming human life. Every day it's a miracle. There's a new way to be human. It's a song. There's a new way to be human. Go tell the sinner, there's a new way to be human. Tell the saint that isn't doing so, there's a new way to be human. Tell your son, tell your daughter, there's a new way to be human because of Jesus. You know, I don't think like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. I don't walk like I used to. I don't act like I used to. I don't do like I used to. I don't interact with humanity like I used to. New way to be human. New way. It's getting harder and harder to recognize who I was before Jesus. Thank God it's getting harder and harder. Not easier and easier. I'm human and I need the unction of the Holy Ghost. Unction, the enabling and enabling, strength and power in all things beyond my humanity. The anointing that breaks the yoke of humanity. And it does. Get some anointing on your life. Get the unction, get the utterance flowing, get that enabling of God, the enabling of the Holy Spirit. He's a quickening spirit. Same power that raised Christ from the dead, and he quickens mortal bodies. That breaks the yoke of humanity. Jesus said, come to me, take on my yoke. And the beauty is when we're in the yoke with Jesus, we're in the yoke with God. We're in the yoke with the living Word. We're in the yoke with the way, the truth, and the life. The words of David Wilkerson, why do so many believers experience weakness, feelings of despair and emptiness, as if they can't go on? It's because they do not have the revelation that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul, a revelation of all the provisions God has made possible for those who claim them by faith. Do you fit Paul's description of a bountiful servant, one who has all he needs and more at all times in every crisis? Have you proven this by drawing on the bank of heaven? For several years, I worked with Catherine Kuhlman. Many of you will know that name, an American evangelist. I preached my heart out at her monthly rallies in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Youngstown, Ohio. Services were held both in the morning and evening, and usually by the end of the day, I was wiped out. One night, Ms. Kuhlman said to Gwen and me, his wife, and him, let's go out and get something to eat. I told her, I'm sorry, I'm too tired. I've got to go to the hotel and get some sleep. She looked at me quizzically and asked, David, did you preach under the Spirit's unction tonight? I answered, you know I was anointed. The altars were filled. Ms. Kuhlman said quietly, then you're missing something. If you are ministering under the power of the Holy Spirit, you should be stronger at the end of the service than when you started because he is a quickening spirit. You can rise above your flesh because of the Spirit. You can claim that freedom. Since that time, I have proven that truth in my ministry. Rise above your flesh. And God is able that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, 2 Corinthians 9:8. To abound here literally means ever increasing, to have more at the end than at the beginning. In other words, as the battle gets hotter, God's grace increases. As weakness comes upon you, his strength comes on even greater, if you believe it. You know, I'm with Spurgeon. And I pray that this will spur you on. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind or chariots without steeds. Like branches without sap, we are withered. Like coals without fire, we are useless. As an offering without the sacrificial flame, we are unaccepted. In reality, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. In reality, we cannot go a second without God. Someone's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to go this second and the next second and many more seconds. Until that final sand and the hourglass of my life passes through and joins the pile. You know, it's only because of his mercy we are not consumed. You can go without food for some time. You can go without water. You can hold your breath for some minutes, but you are human and you'll need food and water and air. You want to go a lifetime without God? God is your lifeline. Without his grace, though, to wrath upon the sinner, it would all be over. Don't worry. Be happy. Be happy. Be holy. Be happily his. Be wholly his. Luke 12, 25 to 31, and which of you by worrying, man, there's a lot of worrying going on in this old life, isn't there? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why? That is, why do you worry? Why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed, was not clothed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink for. You're not supposed to be anxious. Don't have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:27, in the voice it says, who here can claim to even add an hour to his life by worrying? If I'm human and he is God, I'm the one that needs adjusting and needs to adjust. If I'm human and he's God, I'm the one that needs adjusting and needs to adjust. A.W. Tozer said, much of our difficulty as seeking Christians stems from our unwillingness to take God as he is and adjust our lives accordingly. Here again, fitting for the Christian, and so too for the sinner. Unnecessary difficulty due to unwillingness. You know, God doesn't adjust. God doesn't need adjusting. All the adjusting is on my end. All the adjusting, my part. Why? Because I'm the sleeper. I'm the weaker. I'm the weary one. I'm the fainter. But you know, what's crazy is even when humans know that God exists, they choose still to deny his existence. Not that he exists, but they aren't acknowledging him. They aren't bowing to him. They aren't intentionally relying on him. They aren't serving him, loving him, desiring him, even though they are creature and he is creator. Read these words, only humans have the ability to know that God exists, yet still deny his existence. Ever met anybody on the street, somewhere out there? You believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. But a life that denies his existence and a lifestyle. You know, perhaps we're here this day and we're right here in that place, faced with the reality that we're but human. You know, this is a good place, a good space. It's not to be despised. It's not to be hated. I thank God that I know I'm only human, and he's the only one that can make me He-Man. She-Man? No. He-Woman? No. Male and female, he created them. He-Man and She-Woman sounds like some kind of superheroes. Human superheroes. Charles Spurgeon, I am persuaded that men think there is no God because they wish there were none. They find it hard to believe in God and to go on in sin, so they try and get an easy conscience by denying his existence. I mean, imagine. Imagine knowing there's a God and going on in sin, knowing there's a God and knowing you're against him, knowing there's a God and living a life not for him, knowing there's a God and living like your God. Imagine. Remember, you're the sleeper, you're the weaker, you're the weary one, you're the fainter. Don't think so? God knows so. And I know so. And the Bible says so. These words, I heard the story of a man, a blasphemer. I know it's 11:30. I heard the story of a man, a blasphemer, an atheist who was converted singularly by a sinful action of his. He had written on a piece of paper, God is nowhere, and ordered his child to read it, for he would make him an atheist too. The child spelled it. God is N-O-W-H-E-R-E. God is now here. It was a truth instead of a lie, and the arrow pierced the man's own heart. Oh, a child shall lead them. God is now here. And he is. And we be the humans. C.S. Lewis, those divine demands which sound to our natural ears most like those of a despot and least like those of a lover, in fact, marshal us where we should want to go if we knew what we wanted. He demands our worship, our obedience, our prostration. Do we suppose that they can do him any good or fear, like the chorus in Milton, that human irreverence can bring about his glory's diminution? A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. But God wills our good, and our good is to love him with that responsive love proper to creatures. And to love him, we must know him. And if we know him, we shall in fact fall on our faces. If we do not, that only shows that what we are trying to love is not yet God. Though it may be the nearest approximation to God that our thought and fantasy can attain, yet the call is not only to prostration and awe, it is to a reflection of divine life, a creaturely participation in the divine attributes, which is far beyond our present desires. We are bidden to put on Christ and become like God, that is, whether we like it or not. God intends to give us what we need, not what we now think we want. Once more, we are embarrassed by the intolerable compliment, by too much love, not too little. God's intense love for humanity. He won't leave us unpolished. We would call the man a lunatic if he claimed by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell that that put out the sun. And yet how many a lunatic claim they're scribbling the word darkness on the walls of their cell puts out the sun, S-O-N. Darkness can't blot out the sun. We be the prisoner, we be the lunatic. Nothing and no one can put out the sun, no blindfold, no blind soul. It seems strange to me. Strange. Because knowing there's a God and that he's got a plan for my life sets me free. It's so freeing. It's perfect rest. It's joyous peace. It's hope. It's glory. It's triumph. It's victory. It's worth getting up for every day. And yet there are those that view the knowledge of God as a loathsome thing. Why? Because they then are uneasy. Their lives not pleasing. They have to give account. All will give account. Let's go through this quick. Acts 17, it's worth it. 16 to 34. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Dear God, help our city. Help all the cities. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews. Get to church. But here he's reasoning with the Jews and the Gentile worshipers in the marketplace daily with those who happen to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say? Paul the babbler? I don't think so." Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." He preached in Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him," good idea, "and find him, though he is not far from each of us." He really isn't. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men and a woman too, you can read the names there, joined him and believed. Mockers and believers, the Voice Bible, Paul left at this point, but some people followed him and came to faith. J.B. Phillips, New Testament. So with this mixed reception, that's just the way it is. Paul retired from their assembly, yet some did in fact join him in accepting the faith. Well, it's almost time to retire from the assembly. Let's have the worship team return the message. The unknown is now known. God is now here. And he's calling for a radical life change. He has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. And he has already appointed the judge, confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. Jesus, hallelujah. And the phrase, raising him from the dead, at that phrase, the listeners split. Some laughed at him. And walked off making jokes. Others said, "Let's do this again. We want to hear more." That was it for the day, and Paul left. There were still others, it turned out, who were convinced then and there and stuck with Paul. Well, it's closing time. Things given to teach us we're human. Things given to remind us we're human. Sleep and a message. God is now here. Well, I mean, this is it for the day, at least for this morning. Do join us this evening. Let humanity bend. The old way isn't working. Low grade. New way. Another level. Oh, wretched man that I am. And we all need forgiveness, and we all need the S-O-N. We all need the Son, longing inside, incomplete, without the complete one. We need a new routine, and may there be a hewing, should hew be the need. Hew, man. Man can know kind. Can know the kindness of God. Humanity. I mean, I like doing this. Human. I-T-Y. I-T-Y. Make your own list. Human. I take Yahweh. Human. I trust Yahweh. Human. I treasure Yahweh. Human. I thank Yahweh. You know, because of Jesus, a holy, heavenly way to be human. Let's join with Him. Let's partner with Him. Let's adopt this radical life change, and let's start redeeming human life. Living in a new way, living like Jesus would live. You know what? People are going to look. That's just not normal. Why are they acting like that? That's just like not even human. What sort of man is this? What sort of woman is this? This is crazy. They must be a lunatic. No. I haven't written darkness on the walls of my cell. Some view Christianity as a cell, but guess what? That's the freest life. And I'm okay to be in prison with Jesus, in His prison. That might not even make sense to you. Oh, to be like Jesus. Just wake up tomorrow. Leave this place today. I mean, it might change everything, you know. I want to redeem humanity. I want to be a part of redeemed humanity. But remember, it's only because of Jesus. Never get fusio. It's big-headedness, you know. Stay humble and recognize that without Him giving me the next breath. It's all over.